today on Real Radio.
We need to get right with God, church. Our greeters, our ushers, our parking lot people should be beaming, filled with the Holy Spirit, people of good reputation, honorable warriors, as it were, of the love of God. And that goes for all the rest of us, right? Think of it. This is the pursuit of God. The commission is connected to all of our callings. There's no doubt about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks so much for joining us today. As we get into the Word, we see that God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 6, we looked at how we're all created to be saints and how much our calling and commission from God matters. And like Isaiah, our calling was designed by God, who very much wants to use us in dynamic ways. We're not to stress over it because we feel unworthy or we think we need more knowledge or more self-esteem. God is the one who qualifies us so that He gets all the glory. Otherwise, we'd be servants to ourselves. Now in part 2, we'll take a deeper look into what it means to be called by God. So today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that every Christian has a calling, and every Christian has a purpose in life. Our purpose is to be faithful in doing what's right, no matter what the outcome. The results are in God's hands. We just need to stand on God's word and proclaim the truth, even when it seems like failure in the end. And now, continuing his lesson called Your God Calling, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Capital U on us. So who's God talking to? Himself. This is a reference to the Trinity. Amen. Notice this. Remember Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Remember that? In the beginning, God. Go figure that one out. If you're Jewish tonight, go figure this out. You say, I'm Hebrew. I know the Hebrew scriptures. Good. Go read Genesis 1. Every rabbi gets, if they get their yarmulke tied up in a knot, or their, why? Because Elohim is the singular plurality of God. Eloi is God, singular. I am is plural. Genesis 1:1 should freak you out. Genesis 1:1 mates perfectly with Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Whom shall I send? Singular. Whom will go for us? Plural. The God of the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God manifest in three persons. He commissions Isaiah. And this is when God connects you to your calling. God connects Isaiah to his calling with a commissioning. And every Christian has a calling. Every Christian has a commissioning. In Acts 13:1, the Bible says, remember when the church was growing? Acts 13:1, it's amazing. They're preaching the gospel. By the way, it was not too different than where it is now in the Middle East. Christians were being persecuted to death and the church was exploding. You know, you guys, from 6:30, you know this. From 6:30 to 7, we pray for the persecuted church. And we were praying tonight up in room 201, I think it was. Was it 201? So we're up there praying. And a couple of us prayed that, you know, when Cain killed Abel, God said, "The blood of Abel cries out to me." Cain, what's the deal? Your brother's blood's talking to me, God says. Think of that. This week, 21 of our brothers had their throats slit, their heads cut off. And their blood was spilled. And here's, this was our prayer. God, may the blood of our brothers be crying out to their perpetrators. Can you imagine having slit someone's throat and then cutting their head off? And then all of a sudden you see that, and it's as a voice shouts out of their, from their blood and says, you need Jesus. That's not too far from where Saul of Tarsus was at. Can you imagine right now? Voices of the Martyrs, VOM, is saying right now, 2013 was the bloodiest year in the history of Christianity, and these few months are surpassing it in this new year, and God hears every hemoglobin. Think of it. And I am trusting God because he's so good. I'm trusting the Lord. There is going to be, I believe, a massive supernatural running to Christ. I think there's going to be Muslims around the world say, wait a minute, wait. We need Jesus. Because I believe that the blood of the martyrs cries out. God wastes nothing. This is an amazing time. So as the church was growing, the Bible tells us in Acts 13, I'll paraphrase, that in the face of persecution, the church was growing, and so they had to look for more ministers who were filled with the Holy Spirit, men of good reputation, men who knew the Word of God, to do what? Just to wait on tables. Think of that. We need to get right with God, church. Our greeters, our ushers, our parking lot people should be beaming, filled with the Holy Spirit, people of good reputation, honorable warriors, as it were, of the love of God. And that goes for all the rest of us, right? Think of it. This is the pursuit of God. The commission is connected to all of our callings. There's no doubt about it. Number 5, verses 8 through 10, your God calling will become your purpose for living. And he said, go, listen. So Isaiah responds, I'll go. This is amazing. He responds, I'll go. And God's response to him, go and tell this people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, quick, we're almost to the end. Watch this. God is going to tell him, go tell this people. And here is his commissioning. Y'all need to hear this. I need to hear it. Go tell them this, Isaiah. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Go tell them that. What? Another translation. Isaiah, I've called you and I've purged you from coals off the altar. You're my man. Go for us. Great, what do? Tell them with all of your preaching, no one's going to listen to one sermon you ever deliver. Your ministry is going to flop. Would you take that job? The answer is no way unless you're called. If you're called, it doesn't matter what the results are. Right? Christian, listen, because we are to be faithful to what's right. Don't come to me and say, well, I'm not going to take a stand for that issue or for that thing. You know, human trafficking, that's for other people to care about. And even if we win something in Sacramento or Washington, the judges will just overturn it. Don't tell me that. Because when you're called, you stand for what's right, no matter how it ends. Not one of God's prophets walked up onto the mountaintop, stuck his finger in his mouth, and tested the wind direction. That is not Christianity that takes the pulse of the culture to then determine what is said. And somebody might say, well, let's lick our fingers and see which way the wind's going and see how this plays out. Not God's men who are called and God's people who are called. No one tests the wind. We stand on the word. And we proclaim the word because these are the last days and people need the answers. This is a critical moment. Know your purpose. God wants you to know it. And even in the face of apparent failure, if the judges reject the ruling, if the press makes fun of you, if other Christians put you down, stand on the word of God. And don't worry about the outcome. I've told you before, I'll say it again. If you're biblical, you'll always be right in the end. The end's going to be a great time for those who stood biblically. Number six, it will come with a burden, verses 11 to 13. Your calling's going to come with a burden, my dear friend. Isaiah says, Lord, how long? This is a heartbreak. The word implies that he's weeping. You know that? What's he responding to? How long? The burden is this. Sweet man, Lord, you want me to tell them the truth, but they're not going to hear. What? Listen to this. How long are they going to be like that? When are they going to hear, Lord? And God's going to tell them, they're not going to hear. They won't listen. You guys, this is a shockeroo, and I'll tell you the reason why. When Jesus was preaching and teaching publicly to the masses, I don't know if you realize this or not. You should, if you were here on Wednesday nights, we went through the series on the parables, remember? The New Testament says that Jesus did not speak to the masses without speaking in parables. In other words, a sower went forth to sow seed. Some seed fell among the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Are you with me? You all know this. The beautiful parables of God. Listen, the beautiful parables are terrifying. They're absolutely terrifying. And here's the reason why. See, you're here tonight because I'm preaching to the choir right now. Because God touched your heart because your heart was open. You were wanting. You are not resisting. You, like Isaiah, were aware of your sin when the mirror was turned on you. Remember? When you and I saw our sin and the Lord said to you and me, you need me. You ran to him. There are people who see the mirror and they run away from him. A parable goes out. Remember, parabolos. The truth is cast, para, alongside, balos, to cast alongside the truth. So here's a heart. There's the bobber with truth on the hook. And some people look at it and say, what? I don't get it. Some people look at it and say, I need to get on that hook. That's truth. And Jesus says himself, when the disciples said, Lord, why is it in public you speak to the people in parables? And he says, because to you it's been granted to know the truth. But to them, it's the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah. Hearing, they will not understand. And seeing, they will not perceive. Because their hearts are not their hearts are not open, they're not willing. Where are you tonight in this? With all that's going on in the world, I know it's frustrating. Do you not see? This is the hand of God in these last days. Where are you on this? And Isaiah's burdened. And God answers him when he says, Lord, how long? And here's the horrible answer. And by the way, this is not what God wants. This is what the people have brought upon themselves. Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, and houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate, verse 12. And Yahweh has removed men far away, taken captive. And the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, but yet a tenth will be in it, a remnant. And I will return, and will return and be more consuming as a timothy tree or as an oak. This is interesting because these two trees, you can lop them off at the ground. And in the Middle East, these types of trees grow back. Whose stump remains when it is cut down. Here it is. So the holy seed shall be its stump. So what is he talking about? He's saying, this is it. The people won't listen. I'm bringing judgment. I've stretched up my arm. They won't listen to me. And I tried to get their attention. I tried all kinds of things. Remember, you guys, the first five chapters, their crops failed. They couldn't find leaders to lead them. Do you remember a few chapters ago? He said to them, because I've departed from you, you won't be able to find leaders with integrity. This is 3,000-year-old prophecy, and it looks like I'm reading the newspaper of today. America's leaders, I wouldn't trust them to clean out my garage. They'll rob you. They'll use the law. Just Isaiah said it in chapter 4, chapter 3, and chapter 5. They'll use the authority of the state, he told them, and they're going to use it to exploit the poor. Wow. And Isaiah says, how long? Where are we at tonight? Aren't you saying with me, Lord, how long? How long are we going to continue down this road? Lord, how long is this? How long are we going to see this happen? God says, until the land is laid waste. Why? Because I've spoken to them and they don't hear me. I've called out to them and they don't respond. God is not crying out tonight for Congress to respond. God is crying out tonight for his church to respond. I've spoken to them. They don't listen to me. He only asked his people. He said, if my people will turn and repent of their sins and come after me and call out to me, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. The greatest thing that could happen to this nation is for the church to wake up and seek God's face. It's not bad enough yet. It is not bad enough yet. It's going to get worse. I'm just telling you the pathology of the Bible. Listen, until the church in America repents and cries out to God, there will never be a revival, and our nation will not succeed. The dollar will collapse. We will be invaded, and the whole thing will come apart because God owes us nothing. And if he loves us, he will treat us like he did Israel, his favored people, because we refuse to listen. He will allow the enemy to invade. And isn't it amazing that the very acts of the 21st century enemy of America is acting just like the Amalekites and the Philistines of old? It's amazing. So the future of America is in the house of God. It's not in the state house. It's not in the White House. It's in God's house. And that's my big fear, is will we see our sin and cry out to God? This is a serious time. And next Wednesday, you'll have no problem finding a parking space because people don't like to hear this stuff. But again, if I'm biblical, then I'll be right in the end. Father, we cry out to you tonight. You're asking us to repent. And if we're wondering tonight if that's what we need to do, then since we were together a week ago, so a whole Wednesday, from Wednesday to Wednesday, from last Wednesday to this Wednesday, what have our eyes beheld? thou knowest altogether. What have our ears heard? What has come from our mouths? Since we were all together. And what have we sought to justify in our lives? In the name of liberty? In the name of Christian freedom? In the name of nobody can judge me? When we open up the Word of God and the Word judges us. And God, we bow our hearts before you tonight and we ask you, even if we're not willing, we're asking you tonight, make us willing to repent. We pray, God, that you'd move across this nation. And I'm sure I'll miss somebody, but I don't mean to. But I'm thinking of Calvary Chapelites, Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, Wesleyans, Baptists, Presbyterians, everybody I'm forgetting right now, would come without label, come without title, and come to the altar, that you'd interrupt our lives and there'd be, as it were, a remembrance of a drop of the blood of Jesus placed upon our tongue, and a voice speaks to us and says, might I remind you? Your iniquity's been taken away. And your sins have been purged. So who will go for me? Who will go for us? And may we as a people say, here I am, Lord. Send me. And Father, right now as we stand, may we sing from our hearts this, whatever song this is of worship to you in holy reverence. God, may we kiss your hand, proskuneo, and may we worship, Lord, at your feet with the tears of our hearts, and may we dry, Lord, your feet, as it were, with the hair of our head in adoration of you, and may we get caught in your coming, may we get caught being busy about our Father's business. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today for this lesson, and our hope is that you know Christ as your Savior, and that you've come to know His purpose in your life. Your God Calling, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of us really love a good book, especially one that can help guide us through some of the tougher issues in life, or one that can teach us more about what the Bible has to say about living life God's way. But with so much out there, it's hard to choose the right book. And what if the author really hasn't done their homework on what they're writing about? Bestsellers are not always what's best for us. That's why Pastor Jack personally handpicks what he offers as the book of the month. Each month, there's a new title available for purchase, which is great because it takes the guesswork out of what you should read next. And if you'd like to get a devotional to read so you can start your day the right way, Pastor Jack has devotionals already set up for you at the website. There's a new one each week, and it also includes his previous weekly devotions. So, there's enough to read one daily if you like. You can also sign up for Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you give us your email address. So, once again, the Book of the Month and Pastor Jack's devotions are both available at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.